Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch signals 8 p.m. Wednesday, and it's time for So What's Your Story? The only program originating in Houston devoted to storytelling right here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, and alongside a team saturated in talent, Greg Audell, Drs. Warren Holloman and Mary Edgerton, media maven and engineer Nicole Rochelin, and capable intern Tatiana Gago, we celebrate the power of story by placing the spotlight on tellers who take us on journeys through windows of their souls and transport us to magical worlds before returning us safely to the present. But you know, the real magic comes from all of you who support the mission of this station and the calling of this program to encourage the art of storytelling to foster human connection. And tonight, the drive of our start and the start of our drive here at KPFT is when we ask you to fuel our future by donating to the station so we can continue to bring you the best stuff on the dial. And we do it all for love, folks, because programmers are not paid. But you don't listen in and say, what terrible programs. But what do you expect from people who aren't paid, huh? You expect the best, and that's what we try to give you. So please, give us a call at 713-526-5738, and one of our steadfast volunteers will take down all the essential information. And we're going to thank you on the air unless you say otherwise. Calling in is great because we can hear that phone ringing, telling us how much you appreciate the eclectic programming on KPFT. You don't like the phone? No problem. Go to kpft.org. And then donations, select a form of payment, and this is important, scroll to So What's Your Story as the show you want to support, because that's how KPFT determines listenership. I am always excited about tonight's guest tellers because they represent the best reason to support So What's Your Story. Students from Ireland Performing and Visual Arts Middle School, formerly Johnston Middle School, a school with some of the best, the brightest, and most creative students in the Houston area, led by Ms. Vinnie Arlt, one of the most talented and committed educators you're going to find anywhere. No hyperbole here. Her kids have been on this program 6 times, including tonight, and every time they wow us all with their dazzling skills and their spirit. Let me tell you who they are. They're all sitting here grinning, right? Are you guys grinning? Yeah, okay. Sober up, everybody. All right. Seventh grader Julia Neese loves to write, especially scripts and stories. She's most interested in writing entertainment news, but regardless of the kind of writing, she views the ability to compose thoughts clearly and convincingly to be essential to human expression. And human expression, to Julia, isn't just important. It's everything. She also competed in Odyssey of the Mind, a problem-solving activity consisting of an exercise called Stack Attack, which she's going to talk about a little later. She loves to dance, do crafts, and walk her dogs. Eighth grader Anna Grace Heathcox is about as artistically ambidextrous as they come, enjoying the chance to pen poetry and particularly script writing because she loves how dialogue captures the core of a character's persona. Anna Grace also enjoys acting with a penchant for challenging parts like a half-man, half-woman in Sideshow and as the first girl to play a man in Sweeney Todd at Hits Theater. Seventh grader Nabila Wilson enjoys the directedness that accompanies expository writing, which explains the success of her blog, one that offers tips for teens. For Nabila, writing with an interactive component is what she wants to pursue, assuming she wants to give up her time as an understudy in Steel Magnolias and some stage work in The Importance of Being Earnest. And then there is eighth grader Elizabeth Lizzie Harris, who began playing the cello in the second grade because the viola was too large. I don't know which one is larger. You might as well play a Buick, Lizzie. That's large, isn't it? Right? Okay. And like her classmates, is all about the power of expression through writing. I like you guys. You're laughing at me, and I'm not even funny. I love that. But for Lizzie, it's poetry that curiously serves her method to communicate clarity rather than the abstraction with which it's typically associated. She's also an inquisitive young lady, which explains her passion for investigative journalism, the proverbial bottom line. Whatever these 4 staggeringly gifted young women want to do, they will. And that's the truth, right? Hello, everybody. How are you?
Great.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
You're having a good time already, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm exhausted after all of that. Lizzie, I have to ask you this. If you could investigate an event in history, right, what would it be?
It would have to be in 1932, Charles Lindbergh's 20-month-old son was kidnapped from his own crib, and there were no prints and no blood found at the scene. It's always intrigued me since I read it about 3 years ago, and I would think I would
That's
love
beautiful.
To investigate.
That's what you would want to investigate.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, my students never even heard of the Civil War, and you guys have done the research that of a lifetime. Fabulous. Nabila, now we talked about this in your class, but I want you to tell us what would be one tip for teens that you find most important. This is a great answer. Tell us.
I would say don't be afraid to just explore who you are. Of course, be yourself, but sometimes it's hard to actually know what that means.
Right.
Try new things and go out of your comfort zone. You might find something you really enjoy.
How do we figure out who we really are?
I think trying to explore new things and just don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. You bet. And what if you are afraid?
I think accept that and find things that you're maybe not afraid of.
Fear could be good. Fear could be good. You know, for example, I tell people all the time when they're on the radio, they tell me they're afraid. I tell them, if you weren't afraid, you wouldn't care.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's probably pretty true. Julia, you love entertainment news. So why don't you tell us your thoughts about this year's Academy Awards?
I think that all the winners truly deserve their awards, and to everyone that didn't win, I still believe they did a terrific job.
Okay, now tell us, for God's sakes, what is Odyssey of the Mind?
Odyssey of the Mind is an organization in which you can choose 1 out of 5 problems, then complete the task provided in the problem, but you also have to make a skit to revolve around your solution to the problem.
Wow. And how did you come about that?
It was at my school, and my principal thought I'd be great for it, so she gave me a form to sign out, and I did the form. I honestly didn't think I'd get in, but then I did, and after I really got what Odyssey of the Mind was, I loved it, and I did it the next year.
Yeah, you guys are incredible. You're interested in things I didn't even think existed, and that's the truth. And all of you have a lot in common. The most obvious thing in my mind is a belief that expression is powerful. Your stories are all original and meaningful. And that's going to be very clear in just a moment. Julia, let's start with you. Your story is about a family trip that made a powerful impact. Tell us your story.
There's always been something that fascinated me about Disneyland. I couldn't figure out what it was for the longest time. I was always searching for an answer, always inquisitive. For broadcast journalism, we are required to watch the news so that we are informed on current events happening in our world. I watch the news every morning while eating breakfast. Some of these stories make me lose my appetite. It was then I figured out what made me feel so curious about Disneyland, the family. Now you might be thinking that family is really obvious to all eyes when asked about Disneyland, but my point of view is much, much different than what you are possibly thinking. After hearing about all these stories on the news, I started to wonder how it felt for the families who lost someone dear to them. It was too hard for me to imagine, but that didn't stop me from writing this. All I'm trying to say is that you should treasure the time you have with your family, because you never know when they could be taken away from you. Lucky for me, I was gifted the ability to take a trip to Disney with my family. This was before I had figured out what I had been questioning. But I still took the advantage of all the time I had with my family, because even though I didn't know what I know now, I still loved them, and that's what really matters. If I had known, I probably would have done some things different. I'm not sure what exactly, but I know for sure a few things would have been altered. I'm not sure why I would have changed things, though. After our trip, I feel as though we are stronger, not in muscles, but in trust with each other. We have bonded closer as a family, and I want to salvage all I can from my Disney experience. So let this be a message to all families, to all people with loved ones. Treasure your moments with them. Really take a chance to bond with them. I wish I had the chance to bond with both my grandfathers. Although a physical person didn't take them from me, cancer did. I wasn't even born when my mom's dad died, and I was barely in kindergarten when my dad's dad passed. Now, I really wish I could have been older when they left this world, able to understand, really understand. Maybe that's why I hold on to this experience at Disney, Maybe that's why I never turn down an opportunity to bond with my family. Maybe that's why I try so hard to be the perfect daughter. I'll say it again. I really believe families should take advantage of this knowledge I'm spreading. Even though I may be young, I can still understand the true meaning behind many things and places. It might have taken me a while to figure out Disney's truth, but I eventually did, and I'm honestly proud to say I did. It gives me the opportunity to share with all of you. And now you can understand too. So I want to be clear. Family is the most important thing to me. I want to treasure every waking moment I have with my family, because I never know when one of them, or all of them, could be taken away from me, or even when I could be taken away from them. I appreciate anybody who understands me, who gets my reasoning. I love my family, and I never want to leave them. I don't want them to leave me. So because of them, I am determined to encourage all families to bond. I want to influence every family to find a way to spend time together. Trust me when I say it'll make a difference in your lives. The one thing I know for sure is that it made a huge difference in my life.
That is such a beautiful story, Julia. Thank you. And it touched me greatly, just like I'm sure it touched so many. You may be young, but you are extraordinarily wise. And wisdom doesn't usually occur until you're at least 90, maybe 103 years old. You know, like me, for example, really, really old. I keep journals. I keep journals about the things that I remember about my family, my child, my grandson. And it really is important to understand that those little idiosyncrasies, the times that we spend with our families, are to be cherished. And that was a beautiful, beautiful thought. There's a lot of stuff that we want to learn from your story. But what is that one lesson that you'd like us to take away from that story most?
I just want people to understand that the opportunity to bond and spend time with your family is priceless.
I know that all of you are enjoying tonight's program. If not, you better check your pulse, because I don't know what's wrong with you. And I know that you don't want to tune in and hear, that's right, silence. So with a little help from my friends, we're going to tell you what you need to do right now. Right, Julia?
Right. We need you to call 713-526-5738 and tell us you love storytelling and you want it to continue every week on KPFT.
That is so well said. It sounds like somebody wrote that for you. Some brilliant guy wrote that for you, and you read that so beautifully. Thank you. If you don't know us, So What's Your Story started in 2007 as an open journal once a month until you said, you know what, Hank, we want this every week, and you got it. We started off on Monday mornings at 6. It was kind of tough to get guests, but somehow we did it. I just brought donuts. And then Thursday at 10 p.m., now for 60 minutes on Wednesday at 8, sandwiched between two great programs, both representing the extensive programming at KPFT. People of Earth with Jacqueline Batiste, featuring the essence of diversity among indigenous cultures. And then it's Wild Bill and the Vinyl Avenger dropping the needle on tunes you're only going to hear on KPFT 90.1. But you know what? Every show is great. Pacifica Radio, fueled for peace. Please give us a call at 713-526-5738. Jam KPFT. Nabila, you like the no-nonsense style in expository writing. You've got a spicy little opinion piece where you render a commentary about freedom of speech, which is so integral to this radio station. Love to hear it. And you call it President Trump's war on the press, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an awful lot we can say about that, but I have a feeling that your essay is going to say much of it. What's the biggest misconception, first of all, that we have about freedom of speech?
I think when we think of freedom of speech, we think that we can say whatever we want, which isn't actually true.
That's absolutely true. You know, our brains don't work like gumball machines and get away with it. All of the stupid thoughts in our brains that roll off our tongue are not necessarily things that have to be said. You know, Freedom of speech is not freedom to be stupid, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, and I think you make that point beautifully. Share it with us.
I am a young journalist. I take broadcast journalism in school. I love to write. I even have a blog. The news and politics in general have always been something that have interested me. This past presidential election was the first one I really understood and remembered. In 2012, I was 8 and in 3rd grade. The only thing I remember is that we got to eat outside and that there were adults in the cafeteria that I would later learn were there voting.
This past election, though, I recall hearing things like my parents and grandparents debate at dinner. I loved giving my input, and most of the time, I even knew what they were talking about. I started actually following the news because I was just honestly interested in what was happening, especially where our president was involved. I don't believe Trump has ever really liked the press, or at least the ones that disliked him first. The term fake news wasn't coined by him, but he has used it to create a war on the press. Fake news is meant to describe fake stories online whose intent isn't to inform, but instead to make money. The first person in politics to use the term was Hillary Clinton, but our soon-to-be president at the time adopted the phrase in response to a question from a CNN reporter saying, "You're fake news." But you can't just say that news stories you don't like are fake, and that is exactly what Trump does. I honestly wish the world worked that way, but it doesn't. Actual facts and people's opinions just don't really seem to matter to him. For example, he uses the term alternative facts. What does that even mean? Something cannot both be wrong and right or up and down. Being a fact actually does mean something. Like when the White House press secretary claimed at their very first press conference that the inaugural audience was the largest audience to witness an inauguration, and that it was even bigger than Obama's. The press and social media, of course, had a fit. People started posting pictures of the two inaugurations side by side, showing how one was obviously bigger than the other. The facts were clear. Yet, Trump didn't give up. He argued that the pictures couldn't see everything. He talked about the shape of the National Mall. He suggested that Fox News was correct and fake news CNN was wrong. He was blinded by what he wanted to see versus what he actually saw, just like so many others in our nation and in the rest of the world. The problem, though, is that this is the president. One of my favorite tweets by Trump about the press is where he states that the fake news media is not the enemy of him, but of the American people. Later that month, Trump made one of their typical press briefings into a smaller briefing, where only certain news outlets were allowed. And guess what? They were all conservative outlets that produced articles favoring Trump. So not only does Trump say that these outlets are fake, but now he bars them from even reporting. Just because you don't agree with someone's opinion does not mean it's not true. Donald Trump tweeted in August, "It is not freedom of the press when newspapers are allowed to say whatever they want, even if it is completely false." He's right. There are limits on freedom of the press, but if we believe that, then we have to have a standard for what false and true mean. We can't resort to alternative facts and then complain when someone prints something that we disagree with. The writers of the Constitution put freedom of the press into the Bill of Rights for a reason. It's there to protect journalists, sure, but it's also there because of how our government works. We have a democratic republic, which means we elect officials to make choices for us. To do this successfully, the people, the voters, must have enough information to elect people they want to represent them. When freedom of the press gets taken away, the whole basis for our government collapses. There is no need for journalism if everyone must agree with the president. But I want to be a journalist, a person who provides the public with facts. But it seems our current political climate has trouble with that definition. When young journalists, or journalists in general, see our president saying terrible things about the press, it discourages us from doing what we know is right, which is seeking the truth. Things need to change. If we are going to continue to be America, we need journalists who seek fact and truth, and we need budding young journalists to learn that tradition and continue it. I want to be a professional journalist, but in today's environment, that's going to be a challenge. Thankfully, some of us are up for it.
So magnificent. You have a great sense of meaning of words. And, you know, some of the things that you were talking about, Nabila, have to be talked about right now. We have to talk about this. For example, you know, so many people really imagine that factual information is the same as selective perception. You know, you see things that are real and you imagine them to be real and therefore they're real. And you're right. And that's really a tremendous internal distortion system that creates fake news, regardless of the venue. But you know the Parkland students. You've watched the Parkland students, right, on television?
Yeah.
And these kids are just like you. They are so articulate and they're so creative. Well, they
Thank
are.
You.
They are. Well, you know, and you are. You have to know that you are. But you know. And I love hearing that. But, you know, sometimes many members of our government believe that they were put up to it, that their actors are really not that bright. And as a professor, that just rips my heart out. It truly does. Because I remember a time when we used to aspire to intelligence, and now it just appears as if we're belittling it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We belittle it. Nobody's that smart. Our kids aren't that smart. They're not that articulate. Don't listen to them. Somebody put them up to it. And that really bothers me, and it ought to bother you, too. And that's what prompted me to think about that. What were we going to say, Anna Grace?
It definitely does bother me. Yeah. And I think something that everyone needs to remember is that freedom of speech does not equal freedom of consequences.
Yeah, beautifully. Very well said. Yeah, it really does. It really does. And all of you want to write. And the idea of being able to articulate your thoughts and ideas in a way that makes sense to a selected or a pedestrian audience is really one of the most important things that you could ever do. What do you want? Now, Nabila, there's a lot of messages here, as I've been saying to everybody. But what is that one thing you really need for us to remember about freedom of speech?
I think one of the things that we have to remember is that we are really lucky to have freedom of speech and that we should always try to use our voices for good.
Yes. And it really does come with good judgment, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It does come with really good judgment. And that's one of the subtle messages in your essay that I like so much. And right now, speaking of liking so much, Nabila, I really would love it if you would be so kind to remind everybody about KPFT's commitment to freedom of speech.
KPFT is listener-sponsored and corporate-free. So please, give us a call at 713-526-5738 and help us keep freedom of speech alive.
That is so beautifully put, Nabila. Thank you so much. You know, we believe storytelling is a great way to discover tools of expression. And that's a good thing because Houston is a vibrant storytelling community. Nicole, how about you telling everyone about the great ways that we can take advantage of Houston's storytelling community? You're a pro at this.
I know I am a pro, so thank you for acknowledging that. But first things first, I want to say that I'm stunned and in awe by this group of students, and I can't believe you're only in middle school. So, I mean, I just want to say thank you to the parents for instilling these values in these kids because it's important for them to know now, not later. But anywho, well, let's see. Besides calling in right now, it's 713-526-5738 to keep our program coming your way every week. Listeners will want to join our sponsor, the Houston.
Nicole needs a job. And this is it. I mean, you're getting paid so much. Nothing.
Yes. Thank you for telling my salary
over
the
air.
You're
getting more nothing than any of us.
Yeah, you're right.
I paid nothing. Yes.
He's right, guys. But anyways, the Houston Storytellers Guild, you know, they meet the fourth Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Temple Emmanuel, that's located at 1500 Sunset. Be sure to visit the Guild's website at www.houstonstorytellers.org for upcoming events and for all our past So What's Your Story programs. Every show since 2008 listed on the menu under radio program. What else, Tatiana?
Well, Nicole, one of those upcoming events is coming up this weekend, the Best of the Guild, when guild members tell their favorite stories at company on stage this weekend, March 9th and 10th. Hank and Warren will be two of the tellers, and it promises to be, as always, a terrific program. It's two nights, so no excuses to miss it. Again, all the details are on the Guild's website.
Thank you so much, Tatiana, or I call you Tati. Thank you, girl. We also want our
That's
listeners.
So obnoxious. You know, I know you don't have a lot of problems.
Just because I don't have a nickname for you, do not be a hater. Thank you very much.
You guys have nicknames for me.
Ruby.
There are things you really can't articulate in public. But
you're right. You're right. And gratefully, we can't say those words on air anyhow. Anyway, but we do want our listeners to know that not having a radio is absolutely no excuse for missing our program, because you can listen to us live stream on KPFT.org and Facebook Live, which we are there right now. Tell us what you are thinking about our shows or suggest program ideas by visiting our So What's Your Story Facebook page, and we promise to get back to you. And please be sure to share our page with your friends, and we'd love it if you like us when you leave. Is there anything else, Tatiana?
Yes, there is one more thing. Next week may be spring break, but our good friends at the Moth are all about tests. Ugh, midterms, my patience. All next Tuesday, March 13th at Warehouse Live. Get there because it's too much fun to miss.
Thank you, guys. You know, KPFT has always been committed to our community, and I know the station, this program is important to both of you. In a few words, tell us how this program changed your life. I know that's a lot to say, but on a very serious level, Tatiana, what do you think? Because you've been doing so great here.
Oh, thank you. Well, for one thing, my friends really think I'm famous now. It's really impressive to them. But no, to be completely honest, it really helped me get out of my comfort zone a little bit. I'm able to speak up more, and it's helped me with to get more insight on creativity, not only in the station, but in work too, schoolwork and at my job.
Beautiful. That's great. Nicole, what about you?
Well, I'm very grateful for the show because it definitely helped me establish my brand individually and helped me grow in the media world, especially when it comes to interviewing individuals, honing in those active listening skills and understanding the power of the personal narrative, which is what our show is about. I definitely utilize those tools.
Well, there is no conceivable way I could do without the two of you, and you have to know that. And Nicole, you are doing your first program on March 21st. Excited?
I'm super, super, super excited. I have three wonderful ladies coming in, and we're going to be talking about domestic violence, and they're going to be sharing their stories. And it's chilling, spine thriller chilling, about how it, not just their personal stories, but also how it affected their families. So I'm really excited about it.
Important theme. It really is. Now, next week, our fun drive continues, although I don't hear any phones ringing, as Dr. Warren Holloman hosts Moth storyteller Claire McLaughlin to get us in the mood for St. Patrick's Day. I don't want to give anything away, but suffice it to say, Claire likes to play God. Okay, figure that one out. She's played Jesus and every other God on stage. That's her thing. It's the truth. And you don't want to miss that show. But why would you want to miss any show, right? Ladies,
yeah,
you agree?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Is this not the best show you've ever seen in your life?
Definitely.
Do you know
best.
That we're being broadcasted across the world? Did you know that?
Uh-huh.
I'm just
That's
letting
crazy.
You know. There's no pressure or anything. I just wanted you to know that
no pressure.
Listening, they're listening to you in Turkey and Iran and Hawaii.
Wow.
Yes, all over the place. I just wanted to let you know that. You really are. But speaking of fun drives, I really don't hear the phones, and I'll bet that you're donating online at KPFT. That's probably what you're all doing. And then you're clicking on donations before scrolling to So What's Your Story as the program that you choose as your favorite. Now, we do need your support. So get online, get in line. I don't care if you're out of line or in a lineup. We still need to hear from you. None of you found that funny. You're a bad group. You're a tough audience. Okay. So don't wait for the other guy to do it, because you know it doesn't work that way. Please. 713-526-5738, JMKPFT. I am Dr. Hank Rubicek with students from Meyerlin Performing and Visual Arts Middle School, Elizabeth Harris, Nabila Wilson, Anna Grace Heathcox, and Julia Neese on So What's Your Story only on KPFT 90.1 Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 91.9 in Huntsville. Anna Grace, your story is framed by a very poignant theme. It's the European refugee crisis. How did you become interested in this topic?
I heard about it on another news source, actually Vice News, and I had never heard anything about it, which I thought was so strange. And just instantly, I just became so interested with it, because it's weird that I'd never heard anything about it.
Well, you are as insightful as they come, and we want to hear your story. Tell us your story.
As everyone is aware, there is great injustice across the world.
It is a painful truth, but the mistreatment of individuals who traveled across deserts and oceans just to be rebuffed of a new life is a common occurrence. It is called the European refugee crisis. In the summer of 2015, Europe received a catastrophic amount of migrants and refugees, a large majority of them from Syria. To say that Europe, specifically the border countries, were not prepared for the enormous overflow of people is an understatement. Before that summer, the amount of refugees entering the country from the start of the Syrian civil war was growing, but growing slowly. Nothing could prepare the Western world of the storm of people that were coming, in search of safety and survival so far away from the home they once knew. Civilians from Syria, ranging from infants to full-grown adults, face a tragic, dangerous voyage to Europe to escape from their life of brutality and war. They pack up any possessions they have left and begin their journey. Though the road they take is treacherous, it is better than the war zone that was once their home. Anything is better than that. The first obstacles that refugees face is the Mediterranean Sea, a hazardous and exhausting journey. Huddled in dangerous, undersupplied, and overcrowded boats, the passengers struggle to survive, grasping on to the hope of a new life filled with opportunity. And if a refugee is fortunate enough to survive their trying odyssey of crossing the Mediterranean Sea, there are still numerous difficulties that lie ahead. Law enforcement and immigration authority is the most immediate issue. From local police to national government, efforts to enforce strict immigration laws can possibly lead to the mistreatment of these refugees. Acts of violence in both parties have led to a great amount of civil unrest in European countries. This, however, is not the only prejudice these migrants face. If migrants are unable to gain citizenship, they are quite literally trapped. This is called being stateless, unable to go home or anywhere else. Refugees have two difficult options. Wait for their application for asylum to be accepted, which is impossibly rare, or begin a different journey, applying for citizenship. Both of these processes are insanely difficult, confusing, and challenging. For those lucky enough to be granted citizenship, another issue arises. Discrimination. Many, but not all, local Europeans are afraid of refugees and the effect that they may have on their community. Some are afraid that the massive amount of Muslim people will make Europe a quote-unquote Muslim continent. But even with these large amounts of people, Muslims would still take up a very small percentage of the population. People are also worried that the crime rates will go up. Though, when given the opportunity that the Western world would provide, many refugees would assimilate into the workforce and benefit these countries, rather than hurt them. Refugees and migrants deserve justice and freedom from their toxic and dangerous homes, to live in a free, safe, hopeful world, where children get an education and adults can pursue their dreams with resources they never have fathomed. The displaced deserve a place. The stateless deserve a state. So please, let them be outcasts no longer.
That's a very stark conclusion. Where does a lot of this paranoia come from?
I think just with all the terrorist attacks, I mean, it seems like there's ever since I was a kid, there's always seemed to be this sort of stereotype that Muslims are bad people, when really that's, again, a stereotype.
There are a lot of lessons in your stories too. I'm amazed. I'm astonished by the incredible parables in all of your essays, all equally poignant, all needing to really be explored, discovered, and then explored. Tell us what the primary lesson is in your story.
I believe that being ignorant to those in pain, the refugees, is as harmful as actually inflicting the pain upon them.
Is there anything else that you want to share with us?
Yes, indeed. The stories like the ones we are telling tonight can only be told if your community supports So What's Your Story right here on KPFT. So please, give us a call at 713-526-5738.
And someone is listening to all of you. Listen to this. I wanted to thank Celeste for her very generous donation. And she says, and I quote, "I appreciate KPFT having these great journalism students to share their point of view." She's calling because of you guys.
Oh, wow.
Yay.
Thank you, Celeste.
Now, all of you, owe me some money. You owe me a cut from everything. I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that? Or gifts. Gifts would be nice.
Gifts.
Yeah, gifts.
Okay.
Candy, something? Okay, very good. You can do gifts. Beautiful. And that's exactly what we're talking about, folks. You know, the young ladies that you're listening to right now are not figments of your imagination. These are, you know, sometimes students and teachers get such a bad rap. They do. And that always annoys me, because what I see in the city, what I see in my students, I've been teaching for 35 years. I tell people I started when I was six. Yeah, but for 35 years is that I see people who want to learn. I see people who care a great deal about articulating points in both verbal and written form. I see people who want to make differences. I don't see any of the bad things. I don't see any of the stuff that so many other people think they see in the schools. And that's the truth. And that's why I do it for so long. And, you know, I have two students in there, and they'll tell you exactly how I feel. And when somebody can call in and identify the brilliance that we have in the studio, being graced by four individuals who care about human expression, and they care about finding real research, not fake news. They're identifying ways of reaffirming and really reinforcing your own assertions. And that's exactly how you spread knowledge. And I just love what you guys are doing. It's just absolutely, absolutely beautiful. Couldn't be better. Now, when we talk a little bit about the notion of, you know, things being better, Lizzie, you have a story that's laced with a lot of confidence. And I say better because we want things to be better, and that's where your story is headed. Your story is complete with the inescapable message that comes with it, and that's about the undercurrent affecting men and women. We want things to be better, don't we? And before you tell this great story, this is a tough question to answer, but in a few seconds, tell us what is the single most troubling notion that you feel is happening between men and women?
Well, a recurring theme that's laced throughout my story, and well, to put it most simply, I feel that men will become afraid of interactions with women. It's happening currently, and I think it's going to continue to happen in the future.
I mean, I'm afraid of my wife, but that's just simply normal. That's not what we're talking about, right? Yeah. Yeah, and she and I talk about this a lot, and you're right. I think that's essentially what's going to happen. We're going to be afraid of each other, and that's not the kind of fear we need. That's not exactly the kind of thing that we need to establish ongoing and trusting relationships. Tell us your story.
Harvey Weinstein, accused of sexual harassment. The headline has shown the first light on what happens behind Hollywood's closed doors and gave many women the courage to speak against their abuser. As months passed and more victims sought justice, these disgusting allegations became a regular feature on the morning news. Who's next, everyone thought. Men, women, and feminists across America watched the Time's Up movement unfold with glossy eyes, while gaining much-needed justice for thousands of women and perhaps even making them stronger. I think that women will be negatively affected by Time's Up as well. Hearing what women are classifying as harassment and watching these powerful women file major lawsuits, I believe will result in men being afraid of interaction, whether casual or professional. Let's say you are a major corporation and you have a job opening. You decide to do a run-of-the-mill job application and interview. At this interview, you have a young woman with a degree and work experience, and also a young man with the same degree and the same amount of experience. Who to hire is a little tough, right? Well, think about it from the perspective of a CEO wanting the absolute best for their company. According to the Huffington Post, 1 in 3 women is sexually harassed at her workplace. This has the potential to cost your company millions in a lawsuit. The chances of a man being harassed, however, are significantly less, and so is the chance of your company being at risk. Today's society is all about moving forward and towards equality. To best contribute to these advances, we need to respect our peers as well as their boundaries, and, despite how cliche it sounds, treat others how we wish to be treated. There should be ample opportunity for everybody, no matter their gender, color, or any other insignificant variable. Even if the young woman that I mentioned earlier was hired and began working at said corporation, there is no doubt that she would be discriminated against and treated like some sort of metaphorical bunny rabbit. By that, I mean like a helpless animal. One thing that I've come to realize as an avid watcher of the news these past few months is change is here. Whether we like it or not, men and women alike are hurtling towards equality and justice, and it won't be long until they reach the goal that we, as well as our ancestors, have sought for years. To those who can't get on board with that, I say, time's up.
Well, let me ask you a really tough question. What kind of advice would you give a woman who says to you, Lizzie, you're wrong?
You're wrong. You know, it's okay if men are afraid of us. It's okay, because we deserve our time in the sun. What kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, to that I say, you know, that's not equality. That is you wanting to be superior to a man. And I just think that those are the wrong morals. Mm-hmm. The end goal in all of this is to be treated equally, to have the same consequences for the same actions.
Yeah. Wow. So well put. What's the most important message here? I'm going to ask you the same question. What's the kind of stuff you really want us to walk away from? Because this is an important question. You guys say so much in all of your stories. I want our listeners to really hone in on the one thing that you want us to take from your message.
I think that the most important message, and also the most apparent one in my story, I think, is that you need to respect others. I think that is the main thing.
Yeah, really do. You do. And it's not an easy thing to do, or I should say, maybe it is an easy thing to do, but we have to be able to do it right. You know, respecting others is not necessarily telling them how we feel, even if it means taking away their dignity. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to understand that we all need to maintain the dignity of everyone else. Everyone deserves that level of respect. Mm-hmm. Is that fair? Really good. Now, speaking of respect, let's talk about your teacher. She's not here. You know, once again, she told me she would be here, and she's not. I just think she's embarrassed. I think she's just, you know, right? What do you think? I think she's shy. I don't know. She is one of my favorite people in the world, and that's the truth. She is my hero in many ways. The kinds of things that she does in the classroom just boggles my mind. Tell me why she's so special. Tell us all why she's so special. Anna Grace, what do you think?
I think she really has the ability to bring out the best in her students, regardless if they can write speeches or interview people. I think that she has this awesome capability of really motivating her students into being the best they can be.
How does she inspire you?
Well, I think just her determination and her... there's a couple of troublemakers in my class.
At your school? Troublemakers?
Yes, really? Yes. but the way she handles these people is just really inspiring. She's just so blunt and honest, and I really can appreciate that.
I think I mentioned to you guys that I was at Brazos Bookstore last week picking something up, and there are some chairs set up, and I asked Ben Rayback, who's a wonderful friend of the show, he's the manager at Brazos, who's here, and he says, oh, you know, the kids from Maryland Performing and Visual Arts. I said, what? They're all over the place. You guys are around more than, you know, I don't know, the president. And your people.
Maybe.
But I actually want to see you. But the thing is that it's the creative writing group. Did you know they have a creative writing group at mm-hmm. your school?
Yes, actually, yeah. I'm in it.
You're in
That's
it?
My other magnet.
That's your other thing that you do?
Yeah, I took it.
And you do that. And you do that. And so what do you do on Tuesdays? I mean, on Mondays you do all of that, and then on Tuesdays you do creative writing.
Well,
they were terrific.
We have, like, different schedules, so it could be Tuesday or Monday.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said about programs in the arts and in literacy and communication. There really is a lot to be said. Talk to me about your teacher.
I love her class. I honestly love her class so much and all of the cool opportunities I get from it. Like, for example, being on the radio right now. She's really cool. And
this is probably the coolest thing you've ever done in your life.
Yeah,
And ever will. I mean, let's face it. The idea, you know, most people are just starstruck when they're with me. Did you know that? I'm lying to you. But
totally
I just thought, I just
that.
Wanted to, yeah, I just wanted to see what you said. I'm just trying to make it simple. So she is, she does give you a lot of opportunities. How does she inspire you?
I think that she inspires me to actually like pursue something like with like journalism and speech and writing. And I think before I took her class, like I've always loved talking, but I think I really, she inspires me to actually try to maybe do something with that.
Yeah, none of you appear to be passive and compliant to me. It looks like all of you kind of like to talk once in a while.
Yeah.
So what did she say? She said, Nabila, do what? What would she say to you?
Do good. I don't know.
You're good. All right. So is there anything that you didn't want to do? And she said, oh, yes, you can.
Yeah, Yeah, I think, like, I get nervous a lot before I do, like, basically anything. And she's always there, and she's like, you can do it, and stuff like that.
Good. She's just very inspiring. Yeah. Julie, what do you think?
I think that she's just an amazing teacher because she's always there for you, and she always encourages you, saying, yes, you can do it, I believe in you.
Yeah.
And she's very, like, she gives you really creative ideas and then lets you alter them into your own idea.
She really does, yeah. She helps you reshape them, yeah. Vinny, if you're listening, all of these words are absolutely true. You're the best of the best. She really is. And what do you think?
Oh, well, I think I love her mainly because she's so straightforward with her opinions mm-hmm. about your writing. But she's also very lenient with your style and what topics you choose to write about and what you're passionate about.
She gives you a lot of latitude.
Yeah, and she's also very
What's an example of a topic that she let you write about that others might not?
Well, for instance, right now, I'm working on a story, and it's about the youth suicide rates and how they are just climbing. And I don't think that other teachers would be as willing to accept something so controversial in their classroom.
Yeah, but it's not really controversial. It's a fact, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's interesting. It's only controversial because it might be threatening or intimidating or uncomfortable for some. But the fact is that that's an important topic, and she's encouraging you to do that. Yeah, she's a very open-minded individual who I think uses tolerance as a verb. Does that make any sense? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a docent at the Holocaust Museum. One of the things that I always tell the kids that I tour, which are mostly middle school kids, is that tolerance is a verb. And that means that it's not just a matter of saying, I want to be fair, I want to be honest. It's a matter of realizing that you have to do things. Like, you can't laugh at a racist joke if your friends say one. If you see somebody getting beaten up on the schoolyard, you have to do something. Not put yourself in harm's way, but you have to do something. Someone drops a tray in a cafeteria, don't applaud. Get up and help the person pick up the food. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and that has a lot to do with what we're saying tonight. Because we're talking about fairness, and we're talking about justice, and we're talking about respect. And I think that what all of you are saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that Ms. Harald, your teacher, is a person who promotes respect in every way, not just among each other, but also in the topics that you explore. You treat them with dignity, and you treat the ones that have to be spoken. And I think that's a pretty admirable thing to do. It really is. She's the best. And I wish she was here, but I'm sure she's listening. Right? Are you
yes.
listening? You know?
Give us a sign.
Yeah, give us a sign. Right, right.
Smoke
give us a
signals,
sign.
It doesn't matter.
Smoke signals. Right. You know, I said earlier that one characteristic that each of you have in common is a belief that human expression is very powerful. And sometimes the best way to capture the power of human expression is through the wisdom of a quotation. And one of the things I was interested in is to see if you could come up with one, or even construct your own. It's hardly a surprise that you guys did your homework. Did you hear that, Nicole, Tatiana? These folks did their homework. I don't want you to take that personally. I just want you to know what it feels like to have people do the homework. What it feels like when people do what you tell them to do.
I just want to point out to you that I'm in three honors.
I just wanted to
make that
clear.
And I'm on the dean's list.
I just wanted to share that. And
I just want to share that.
Okay, good. So in the meantime, let's hear some of your quotations. Anna Grace, what do you have?
This is a quote by Jackson Pollock. This is a quote by Jackson Pollock. Okay. The modern artist is working and expressing inner worlds and other worlds, expressing the energy, the motion, and other forces.
What is it about Jackson Pollock? Did you look up Jackson Pollock, or did you look up human expression, and he came up?
Human expression.
Okay. How about yours?
Well, one that speaks volumes to me was said by Jane Addams, and it states, action indeed is the sole medium of expression for ethics.
Do you have one from Nicole? Do you have Nicole's? Nicole, did you set in your quotations?
Nicole was studying
Good
for
thing
her.
I have a headphone on.
Nicole was studying for her midterm exam for tomorrow. Okay. I just want to let you know.
So my quotation is kind of short, but I think it says a lot. Simplicity is the glory of expression by Walt Whitman, an American poet.
Walt Whitman. Beautiful, beautiful.
I said for mine,
Our lives end the day we become silent about the things that matter. Martin Luther King Jr.
Beautiful. I found these words written by Australian poet Judith Wright that I think fit each of you. Tell me, what do you think? As well as every, I think, MPVA student who's been on this program and who walks the corridors of your school. Feelings or emotions are the universal language and are to be honored. They are authentic expression of who you are at your deepest level. I think what you guys demonstrated tonight more than anything else is authenticity. Nicole, what do you think? You're a bright person. You're a communication studies major. What do you think of some of these insights that these young ladies offered tonight?
Well, again, like I said, I am definitely in awe that the intellect that you ladies have are deeply valued. And typically in your age group, there are a lot of young individuals who aren't as serious about life as you ladies appear to be. And it seems as though you know where you want to go. And so I encourage you to keep pushing and keep digging and go with those values and help build those characters that will make you those successful leaders that you guys are. And I would just like to say you are more powerful than you think you are. So act accordingly. And that is a quote that I like by Seth Godin.
Beautiful. Thank you, Nicole. Nicole is one wonderful person. She is a great student. She's a fantastic mother. And she's a pretty magnificent individual. And so is Tatiana. Tatiana, I'm going to hand the headphone over to Julia. So when you're done with your comment, kind of wave so I can see you.
Well, let me just say that I admire this group of girls right here. You guys are amazing. We need more girls like you, okay? Just know that you do have a voice and you need to use it. Continue using it now because we have people now who want to shut you up. Keep going. That's all I need to say.
Thank you very, very much. I don't know what you said, but I have a feeling it was pretty brilliant. You're going to clue me in later. Okay, did you have fun tonight?
Yeah,
definitely.
You did?
Definitely.
You had so much fun. Right. I paid these ladies to say that so dynamically. It's a wonderful. You're so animated. Your parents are here. And
yes.
Tell me about your parents.
Well, my parents are amazing because they're always so supportive. And I just think they've really helped me. I mean, it's like, it's not only my parents. It's my brother, my best friend Lauren White, my MPVA is even helping me, just supporting me.
Lizzie, your parents. Tell me about them.
Well, my parents, great people, just like me. Pretty funny.
Here?
Yeah, they're here.
Of course they're
here. They're listening.
Yeah, of course they're here. And they are great people.
My parents, they have always been so supportive of me. And they've always been there for me. And they're always just continuing to support me in whatever I want to do. And they're just such wonderful people, and I hope I can be half as good as they are.
Moms, dads, you see me. Thank God. God bless you all, because these are fabulous kids. They're fabulous. Tell us, Kabila.
I love my parents, of course. They're so crazy inspiring, and they're always pushing me to do what they know that I can do, even when I'm like, no. They're also kind of annoying sometimes, but it's okay.
Yeah, well, they're normal. They're normal. That's what's supposed to be, right? Now, really, Julia said it best. She said you have to be able to bond. You have to be able to make sure that every moment counts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So give us a final word about that. Tell me about your parents. Tell us about your parents.
My parents, I get so many opportunities to bond with them, and I feel like I'm really lucky to do that. And I think by bonding, it's like increased our support system for each other, not just them for me, but for me for them.
You have a lot of friends listening in tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
I hope so.
You want to say hello to anybody?
I told all of them.
Who do you want to say hello to?
Well, obviously, my dad, my brother, my mom, I see you, and my best friend Lauren White, and just all my teachers at MPVA for helping me get here.
Nabila, your friends. Not your Facebook friends. We don't have enough time for all of that. We have thousands of them, right? We have thousands of them. Tell us about your friends. Shout them out.
Well, my friends are amazing, actually. Two of my best friends would be Isabel Jada and Lydia Gafford. You guys are awesome. I hope you're listening right now. If not, then, like,
I might have to have a talk with you. So, yeah.
Very good.
Anna Grace, your friends. Shout them out.
You know, my mom and my dad, they're my friends, too. And the whole Ficus family. Love you guys so much. And anyone who... I've kind of been annoying all my friends all this week about me being on this show. So anyone... Same. Any of my friends who are listening, I love you guys. You're great. And hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah, and Oprah is right outside. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she really wanted to see me, but I'll let you see her, too. It's okay.
Thanks.
Lizzie, shout them out. What do you got?
My parents, my sister, Miss Soledina, Miss Gonzalez.
Anybody else
who decided to tune in? Thank you.
Anna Grace Heathcox, Nabila Wilson, Elizabeth Harris, Lizzie, Julia Neese, you all rocked Houston tonight with your insights and introspection, and you demonstrated that our voices, our words, our ideas are clusters of images that we call human expression. Thank you, and thank your parents for making this program and KPFT a part of your lives. You are always and forever welcome. I don't know if you heard some of your former students on the air. Have you heard them? Well, you ought to go listen to them. They are unbelievable, too. And you guys, just no words can possibly explain how much I appreciated you being here. Now, although we're almost out of time, Lizzie, I believe you have something to say.
It only takes 90.1 seconds to call 713-526-5738 with your donation.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. Lizzie, don't you love having the final word?
Totally.
Always. Right. Stay put, because Wild Bill and the Vinyl Avenger are up next with cool classics for the much cooler you. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And treasure what you hear. You keep loving a great story, and we're going to keep bringing them to you. This is Dr. Hank, and along with the rest of the SWYS team, we want you to remember that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.